episode of Conversation is supported by the generous donations of Klaus Schwab. You can support us too at truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link.
Yay, we are back coast to coast, 23rd of May 2025. Beachy. What a beautiful beachy day we've had today.
It was a beautiful beachy day. I had a good beachy day. It's lovely spring. Finally feels like a little bit of summer coming on, but not, you know, obviously you guys are on the other side of that.
Yeah, it's supposed to be, we're supposed to be coming into winter. I don't think we're going to have much of a winter, but unfortunately New South Wales, further south from the border there of Queensland, further south, mid-north coast where Esoteric is, basically is where the main drama is for the flooding. Yeah, So pretty bad, especially a place called Taree is one of the ones that's pretty much underwater. A lot of people being rescued. They've been telling people to try and evacuate if they can. They only have so many rescue boats. So once again, it's like people helping people. The state emergency services are all inundated. Yeah, it's pretty full on. I think at the moment that only a couple of lives were lost, but we're not sure like what the count's going to be after all this, especially if there's livestock again and, you know, people's pets and other people that haven't been accounted for in their houses. So,
right.
That's, yeah, it's not good.
Wait. Yeah, crazy. It's clean up. So is it still raining or is it let up a bit or what's going on?
I have to check the weather down that way. But Queensland, we had the Blues Festival, which had the 4 days of the festival was just like raining. So it was like it was a mud pit for the whole weekend. And my girlfriend decided to wear white to the festival. So, yeah, I said to her, you know, I don't know why you're wearing white. She goes, I think I look good in white. I'm like, you're going to end up being muddy. Anyway, I ended up just my usual, just the denim shorts and just wearing the old flip-flops so I can just wash the mud off my legs.
So do they have like coverings for you, or you were just standing out in the rain watching the bands? I'm sure the bands covered.
Yeah, the bands were under cover, but people had umbrellas, and there was like areas which had like undercover, like beach brollies, you know, but the massive over some seats and stuff like that. But I think most people were pretty happy to be in the rain, and you know, you saw a lot of ponchos. Whoever was selling those ponchos are making a bit of a killing.
Always.
That's pretty funny.
Like when you're, I think we bought a couple of those when I was in Australia.
yeah, but that's funny.
Yeah. At least it's not cold though. It's just
no, it's not cold. It's definitely not cold. I'll tell you what, it's pretty good sun for autumn. I mean, I'm a lot browner than I will be. Than I am normally, because summer, nobody really, they're sort of outside early in the morning and then in the evening. And if you're in the middle of the day, you're just going to get absolutely cooked during summer. But now it's beautiful. Like you can actually spend time outside because the autumn sun is actually really, really nice. Yeah. So got a good tan happening. Which is good.
That's our
real summer. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So what have we got today, Beachy? We were looking at a couple of social media things recently.
We were watching TV this week.
Yeah.
No.
Well, an hour, 2 hours of our time.
YouTube.
Yes. And whenever I get that just before I go to bed, I can squeeze an hour before I go to bed. So we're watching The Great Hack. This is one of those documentaries from 2019. And it had to do with the Facebook Cambridge Analytica data scandal. No idea that this was actually news. Did you know about it, Beachy?
Well, being in the industry, I did. And that was, well, at the beginning of that particular documentary, they went over the history of, you know, all the companies that started Silicon Valley. You know, it was kind of a, it was almost like one of my college courses, you know, because you went over, you know, all the Silicon Valley and who was the big, you know, like the Hewlett Packards and the IBMs and all those original first comers to the scene. And it goes into a little bit of that just because of how they were all basically funded originally through the government. So it was not, you know, like they make you think somebody sitting in their garage coming up with this stuff on their own. You know, the Apple people and the Hewlett Packard people and the Facebooks, they want you to believe that there's this, you know, this rags to riches story, but it's really all government funded and created by DARPA, which, yeah, but you know, and to be honest with you, we did not learn that in college. We learned the stories, you know, the garage stories. So,
yeah.
But you know, you learned who the big players were, the main players, of course, and all that. But
yeah, it is very interesting though, because like, the, to what extent, like, in, when you think about internet's not only, it's not really that old. I'd say, what, 20 years old, maybe?
Right.
Maximum?
Right.
You know? Mm-hmm. And we've had all these things. I remember before Facebook, there was this one we used to do. It was like High Five or something. They started all these different social networks, you know, in the beginning there. And it was quite innocent. They were really wanting to connect people, and it was a way for people to really be in touch with others, especially if they were overseas. I mean, I had friends and family overseas, and it was a great way to be in touch with them without just being on the telephone, like calling up on the telephone.
That's
right. You know, and I think this is what, and then the eventuate was Facebook was a big one. And I remember when that first came out and everybody got on that, and that was really good, you know, everybody connecting with all their friends. And then, you know, everyone was able to upload their pictures and they were able to see sort of in real time what we were all up to. And, you know, it wasn't like, oh, you know, mum would write a letter to my aunties or whatever and wait for those photos to get developed and put them in the envelope and send them. And it'll be like, yes, we had a function this month and this is what we were doing. And then you know, I was like that with my girlfriend. I've got like thousands of photos over the years of, you know, her kids growing up and this and that. And now, and then we were able to get it in real time through social media. So, you know, that was one of the, yeah, it was quite good. But this great hack I found was quite interesting because it was something different, and there was a real dark side to social media. And we kind of, I think we kind of knew, like, you know, as things progress, there's going to be, someone's going to try and do something, right? You're like, there's always, you know, it's like, where there's good, there's bad, right? So you always go, you know, the party's about to end somewhere. And, yeah, so I didn't know what this was about because initially when I watched Social Dilemma, I thought, oh, that's very interesting. It kind of now makes you understand what is happening when they talk about cyberbullying and stuff like that. But this great hack was actually about...
V, you're getting a little horribly again.
Am I wobbly still?
Okay, go ahead. Okay. It sounds better now.
Must be where I am. I must be in like a weird.
Are you? You got to move to the stay in the good spot, right where you are.
Yeah, I know. I've
move around
to the good spot. Hang on, right here. How's this? Is that better?
No, it's gone. It's going again. It's getting wobbly.
I'm garbled. What's happened? Am I garbled?
Is it? You got some new headphones, or are you?
No, I don't.
I guess okay. I guess it's okay. It's just
am I garbled?
didn't want it to get worse. I mean, I could still hear you. It was just a little like starting to go a little bit, Stephen Hawking. But so you, you were saying about the instantaneousness of it, how it was so, it was such a big, seemingly big jump. Because again, I was in the industry. So in actuality, we did have internet probably in the mid 90s. And, but it was like compute, you know, computer companies, like I would talk to people all over the world in my job and through the internet, what we call the internet, but it was like email and, you know, that networking kind of thing. We were all on the same network. So in a sense, it was like, you know, internet, because, it, you know, I worked for Sun Microsystems, which was a big hardware and software company, and they did networking as well. But and I also worked for another networking company. But anyway, the point was that we were all networking at that point amongst ourselves in the industry and our customers and, you know, businesses around the world. So that was in place, and it didn't go to the consumer, like in our homes, until, like you said, like around the late 90s, 2000s. And I remember, well, I don't know, maybe you might remember there, there were lots of commercials where they were sending it into the, you know, the consumer market, and the big commercial was, we put the dot in the .com. That was this, our Sun Microsystems commercial.
And you know what? If you had a business, you wanted a .com.
Exactly. You know? Yes. Yeah. And it was just getting, because, you know, like you said, we were not in people's homes. And I used to, it used to crack me up, because it's like, okay, they would show these commercials to everybody, like at, on the Super Bowl and, you know, all the big, you know, network programs. And I used to laugh, because it's like, okay, these people, you know, they're not, they don't have these computers. They're not able to get on the internet, you know, and it was so weird that they were just putting it out there. That was like the announcement, that, you know, to get everybody .com, everybody get that into their brain. And then, yeah, like you said, all of a sudden it was like, oh, everybody needed to get a website. Everybody needed to get a .com.
Yeah.
So, and what about your email? Was marketing.
Yeah. And what about your email? Like, everybody had the one email, and the, everybody used, it was like their first name, first name, whichever. And everybody thought that was super duper exciting at that time as well, to have an email, you know.
But the big thing, quite good. And, and when they started going into like the AOLs and the Yahoo. I mean, there were specific platforms that you get your email from, and also Microsoft. And our big red flag at that point was when you got into a place like AOL or Microsoft, whatever, they were already censoring your data back then, because, you know, whatever they didn't want to show you, they wouldn't put on that network. So if you were like in, say, AOL.com, that was like the Facebook back then, you know, because you could talk to all your peeps on AOL. You could get into groups. You could have, you know, you could, you know, like they had all the billboards, whatever. What is it? Like forums and stuff like that. And so you could get into your groups back then. But again, like I said, if you were in AOL, if you, and you didn't know what you were not getting, it was just, and we knew, because, you know, we, you know, in the industry, it was like we had seen that they had already kind of told us that, you know, you're not getting the entire internet. You're just getting what they want you to see. And that was the beginning of, you know, all of this censorship and, partitioning out places where you went. So, and so that's kind of what this great hack show, was outlining how they managed to just get control of all these things because, you know, they created it. That was their playground. So you, nobody else was, there was no competition outside of the government, DARPA. All these people were funding all this stuff. So it wasn't, you know, a, what do you call it? Free market, so to speak.
No, and that's what we think it is. It's a free market because we are essentially just using it. And that's very interesting because it's like they mentioned data, but not to the extent, like for me, I was like, oh, data, is it just transfer of information and stuff like that? But what we don't actually realize is they're actually collecting data, personal data, from when you use the online. And I thought that was really interesting. It's like they're harvesting our information using data, you know?
Right. And that was from the Social Dilemma documentary. Yeah, that one to me was extremely interesting because, you know, like I said, knowing what I knew, like you said, I just thought they were just collecting all this stuff and throwing it into databases because I remember, you know, they were already building the data warehouses and, you know, they had these server farms in Atlanta and various parts of the world where there was just data being collected and sitting in these servers. And I always thought, okay, what are they going to do with these things? And I never really knew what was actually happening, but this particular, the Social Dilemma documentary told me what exactly now they are doing with it. And it was very eye-opening. So yeah. You remember what they said about how they were creating profiles about you and how they track how long you're on these sites, and after the break.
Truth Meets is supported by listener donations at truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link.
Oh, we're back coast to coast with Beachy and Brolicious. We're just going on talking about data. We don't really think about our data, do we? That it's being harvested and it's being used in a particular way to come back at us. And right. No one really thought about it. And like you were saying, like data banks and stuff like that, I wouldn't think about that. I would just go, oh, I don't know. Does it go into the ether somewhere? You know what I mean?
Right. Well, like, and here's just,
what do they do with it?
Here's the insidious part is it's not just collecting data and saying, oh, okay, you're looking at this stuff. But they're actually creating algorithms to try to keep you in wherever you are, like, and they keep track of how long you're in these places, how many different places you go to, what kinds of places you go to, who you talk to, what you're saying, all of it. And they create these profiles to kind of predict what you're gonna want to click on. Like, you know, when you're in YouTube and they have all those things presented to you, you know, here, why don't you look at this? Why don't you look at this? When you have pulled up something, right, you have all these options at the side that, you know, are vying for your attention so that they're hoping that you're going to click on that and they're going to keep you longer. And, you know, after you watch your video that you've chosen, you're going to go look at what they've presented, you know, and they're going to try to keep you there as long as they can until they get you. And then you remember all those commercials that come in every 5 minutes or however long the time is. And, you know, they're trying to pull you into clicking over there. And it's just like they're just trying to keep you in, you know, in the space. They don't want you to leave and they're doing their darndest. And they're using behavioral psychology to do it through dopamine hits you know, likes, validation through, like, say, if you make a post and somebody else responds to it. I mean, there's just all these bells and whistles and clicks and, you know, that they're just sucking you in moment by moment.
And it's interesting because we would have had television, you know what I mean? And people would see the commercials and you would remember a commercial because it had a good jingle and stuff like that. And you think, oh yeah, it's still part of propaganda. Like propaganda really is in a sense marketing.
Right.
But it goes deeper than that, obviously. So by having these social media, they're exploiting a new notion in culture, you know, and it's really giving you the full service. It's the full service propaganda machine, you know, and what was it called under? I think they said it was something like behavior change agency. Like this is how they're going to be able to change our behavior, which is quite interesting. Because people don't think that they are affected by it and that behavior won't change, but it obviously does.
Well, you were talking about that in your last show with Marfer on the Botoxing thing, and you were asking, why are people doing this to themselves? I mean, because it's essentially mutilation, right? And I believe this is why people do it is because they're showing this to you constantly. And it's in your, you know, you're embedded in your television show. It's not just the commercials anymore. It's all the product placement within the television show. And then they're showing it to you on the commercials. And it's again, it's a value misplacement. And they actually called it a digital pacifier. We're getting our validation from the faith, from these entities on the screen. You know, it's like you look at them and you think, I got to look like that. So I'm going to go out and get my, you know, whatever. So I can look like that because then I, you know, then I'll, you know, be
hopefully
like,
in.
Yeah, it's exactly. Again, a misplaced value, you know, that you're going to give yourself value by doing these things. But you know, it's just, you know, and you know, as a woman, it's never ending. It's like, whoa, you gotta do the makeup, you gotta do the eyelashes, you gotta do the hair,
the wrinkles, and then the boobs, and the butt, and the this, and the that.
It never ends, right? You could be there all day trying to make yourself look like, you know, I don't know, whoever, Nicole Kidman, or who's the hot girl these days, you know, Kim Kardashian.
Do you really want to look like her? Have you seen?
No, I was just going to say, I don't find her.
Have you seen her mother lately, Kris Jenner? Like, she had the full cosmetic surgery done, and she looks way younger than she has ever before. And I was really shocked. Like, it's a good job, a really good job. She's 70 years old. She looks like she's about 30.
Okay, how? How does she get the good surgery? And, you know, you look at the people like Madonna and who was the other gal they had the other day that just Miley Cyrus that just looked
that was looked terrible.
Horrible. It's like, what happened to them? Did they not get the right surgeon? Or
I think with them might have been like drug taking as well. Like there's probably other stuff involved. Even like I think Martha mentioned Sharon Osbourne as well. But I remember the daughter, what was her name? Kelly. She had a major change because she was quite chubby. And then she, you know, and then all of a sudden it was this full transformation. She was slim. She was quite pretty. And it's like, well, she had a full transformation. And that's what I was saying. Like, I don't feel as if they're like the same people even, you know, quite crazy. We don't even know how far out this goes, whether are they real people or not, or are they just putting people in there for us to perceive them as these particular people, you know? Where does it stop? Like, are they actors? Yeah. Are they not actors? Like, we don't really know. There's no truth to it all. It's only what we've, unless you know them personally, then it's only what we see through the lens, you know, and whichever lens that is.
Yeah. Well, and like you said, and what does that do to people's psyches, you know, when they look at these people and, wow, she did it. Look at the transformation she got. So I'm going to go, you know, you got enough money, you got enough time to go and go and figure that, you know, try to find some surgeon or whatever, you know, because that's what people do. They take pictures into these surgeons and say, I want to look like that. And then, you know,
now what if it doesn't turn out? What if it doesn't turn out the way that you hoped it to, or the way that you imagined it to? It's not a good thing, you know, and this is where the mental state of people come in. I mean, when you think about it, when you think about PSYOPs, like we hear that word quite a lot, you know, PSYOPs. Everybody just talking about a PSYOP. Do you know what a PSYOP is? It's a psychological operation. Psychological, right? Just have a think about that word. It's about your brain. It's changing the way you think, changing not only the way you think, but putting it into behavioral patterns and stuff like that. You know, all these things are, it's all part of the communication warfare that they have these days to divide and conquer people as well. So, you know, you've just got to really have a look at what's around you and not try and be drawn or swayed one way or the other. You really have to pull yourself back and look at the broader picture, because if not, you're in. You know, I mean, one click can get you get you down like a rabbit hole you don't want to be down, you know.
That's what I'm saying, you know. It is, and you hit it right on the nail. It is an information war. We are in a war right now. I don't know if people really know that we are in a psychological information war, and it's a war for your mind, like you said, because once, you know, you keep going down these rabbit holes, you keep clicking, and, you know, they keep showing you more and more and more. And, you know, what is, there was some, I can't remember what, the thing about it is repetition. When somebody tells you over and over and over again something, and you don't even know it because, you know, you're just watching what they're serving up. And if they're serving it up over and over and over to you, you believe it. You start to believe it. And that is what they're after, to move the herd in the direction they want it to go. And that's what's happening here.
Yeah.
It really is. Like you said, you have to recognize that, and you have to understand, you know, cause they've got you at every end, you know, like, I think in my last show, I was talking about, you know, when we were all in junior high, and remember how all the, you know, everybody was about fitting in and being in the right clique and having your friends' approval. And oh my God, you don't want to be embarrassed. You don't want to be, you know, awkward. And everybody was awkward. Everybody was trying to figure out their place in life. But you found the safety in the clique, right? You found safety with
that's right.
You know,
and that you know? And that was just purely, we were just seeing face to face. You know, things are happening face to face. We didn't even have technology of this kind when we were growing up. You know, it was pretty full. I mean, we used to pass notes to one another. It's like, oh, we don't like her. Don't want to hang out with her during break time. You know what I mean? And the teacher would be like, you go and sit over there. You two, you need to split you up. You know, and it was very much so. If you've ever watched those movies like Mean Girls and all that, it was pretty much like that. You know, it was a different time. It was a different time. But what I liked in The Great Hack, what they had brought up in the documentary was quite interesting. The Dr. Philip Zimbardo's Stanford Prison Experiment, and they said it was a psychological project that tested the limits of human nature, empathy, and common sense. We know a lot of people don't have common sense, but let's keep going about it. So what they did was it measured how far the deck needed to be stacked before the observed subjects voluntarily went along with authority that they knew better than to follow, right? So it's like, even though they knew, these people knew it was the wrong thing to do and it was something that they shouldn't be doing, they went ahead with it. They went ahead with it. So this is where the whole psychological thing comes through. So during the
peer pressure.
But during the participants' interview, it was revealed that they had desire to be rewarded for following instructions, and also there was a fear of being ostracized or left out if they hadn't. So that's the term FOMO, like fear of missing out. You know, I saw that not too long ago, and it used to, I'm like, what the hell is FOMO? And I was like, why are they talking about FOMO? What is this thing? And then when I was told, oh, it means a fear of missing out, I'm like, what a stupid ad. Like, seriously.
No, it's true. That's what.
You know what I mean? So there's obviously people that are very easily persuaded, that are easily influenced into this sort of thinking. So the psychological warfare that they're doing is basically what they're saying was military grade. That's
full on. 24/7 news for a reason, because people have FOMO. They don't want to miss out on anything. There's something going on in, you know, all over the world, and there's all this social media that we have, and people post and repost, and you can be on it 24/7, and it does have that factor of the FOMO, like, oh, I got to be on top of it. I don't want to miss anything, right? And they know that. This, like you said, it's all based on behavioral science. That's what both of these documentaries pointed out, that they brought in specifically psychology, behavioral science scientists to direct these people to their, you know, to their goals of what they wanted to happen. And these programmers, they were like, you know, at first they didn't even, you know, figure it out. They didn't notice what they were doing. They were just doing because that's what their directives were, and it was going to make the people some money. And that's, you know, when you're in that startup kind of environment, that's what everybody's working towards. You know, you got this money, and you got to do, you know, you got to perform. You got to give back what you've been awarded, you know, your deliverables, right? And I would also say too that they were probably all compartmentalized. They all didn't know exactly the full extent of what they were working on. They probably got their deliverables and, you know, their deadlines, and they went to work. I mean, that's how corporate works. You know, you don't get to see the whole thing usually.
Yeah, and things happening for them in real time as well. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So we're thinking about the psychological thing that's going on online and with social media, but it's actually happening to these people as well, because they're seemingly innocent in doing their job, and this is what they're being told to do. But they're in effect also being brought into this particular profiling and also being experimented on in that
sense.
And
I'll tell you, being in that environment, when you have a big project that everybody's working on, it's very stressful, because you go to a meeting and it's like, this has got to be done. It's got to be done right away. You know, you've got these deadlines that are not reasonable, but you know, you're young and you want to perform, right? You want to show them that you can do what you can do. And, you know, you just do it, and you're everybody's, you know, heads down and doing their thing. And it's very stressful, and it is all consuming. So you're not picking your head up, asking questions or going, what the hell are we doing? You know, it is all. And I used to always think about that, you know, when you go home and you're like ragged, tired, and you know, it's like, why does it have to be this way? Why does it have to be so, you know, everything has to be done yesterday, right? Yeah. It's like, it's just go, go, go. And nobody has time to think about it. And I'm sure that is part of the...
That's part of it as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. And that's the thing that they brought out, because it was like, you know, filling out the online survey. I mean, they brought it up on both actual documentaries. Have you ever filled out an online survey? Do you ever wonder why you receive ads for products that you happen to research the day before? It's like, yes, I do. The question also was, is your phone listening to you? And it's like, sure is, because who was that guy on there? David Carroll, he was the associate professor and he does digital marketing and stuff like that. He was working as a teacher. But he was the one that asked the question, you know, and how many people put up their hand that they believed that their phone was actually listening to them, you know? And it was really crazy. And then he went into trying to research something. And then the question that he had asked, I think it was with Facebook, can I see the data you have on me? And this started a whole new wave of inquiries. It went into court and all that kind of stuff. And this is where the Cambridge Analytica, the company, were accused. They've been accused of harvesting, we were talking about that before, but it was Facebook data from 50 million users. And it was like, and it all started from this one question, and this led up to this massive scandal. And I was like, wow, this is very interesting. I wonder how far this goes.
Right. You know? And well, that, and the scary part about that was when the guy said, I can't remember if he was in Facebook or what particular platform it was, but for that particular, that Analytica thing you said,
Cambridge Analytica.
Yeah. Because I remember hearing about that, but I didn't really get the whole gist of that. But what he said in that particular show was that, so in his directives, they would get, even if you had one person in your group got into this, they got their information, all of a sudden they could get every person in their contact.
Yes, list. That's right. It was
them. And then they got contact from all of their data. Yeah. So it was like, oh, that was scary.
You've reached another top of hour on Truth Meets. Go to truthmeets.com to sign up and participate in our forums and conversations.
Truthmeets.com, coast to coast with Beachy and Very Delicious. And we're just saying how scary it is with our data being.
Right. Well, I think it was Facebook. I believe it was Facebook that he said, yes. Yeah. So as soon as they got a hold of one person, they got into their contact. They were able to get into their contact information and find all their people that they, you know, interfaced with and all of their data. So they could curate messages for all of those people to
That's right. Yeah,
direct them to where they wanted them to be. And as it turns out, they used it for political elections, all that stuff. And it was
not good.
That was very eye opening to me because I
you didn't know about it, did you?
I'd never heard of that. Because
it involved the 2016 US presidential elections and mm-hmm. it also involved the UK Brexit referendum. So I was like, why did I not hear about this? Like, what's going on? It's all this stuff going on. And this is what we're talking about. There's so many distractions in our life. There's only very few people that would actually listen to what news is happening out there. And even if they got a whiff of it or they're like, yeah, whatever, you know, that they just blow it off half the time. But they're actually telling you something. Like they're actually giving you information, like really relevant information about what's happening to your data and when you go online and also how it's linking you, your friends and family, whoever, and their data and so forth. You know, an example I've seen lately is just was like Instagram has these threads called now like another messaging thing. And it's like, oh, such and such is now posted on threads. And then it'd be like, well, I'm not mm-hmm. on threads and I don't want to go on threads. Okay. But it's still, you know, trying to trying to get you on there because all your friends are on there and they're making all these posts on there that you're not going to see because you're not in it. And it's like, no, exactly. Who cares? You know, so it's like, come on.
It's on all the platforms, I think, now because, you know, I don't go on, you know, Instagram or Facebook or any of those, you know, X, Twitter. I'm only on Telegram, but you get all those posts from those places on your Telegram, and they're constantly, constantly, oh, come to this, come to that, come sign up over here, come to this.
Yeah, they're still essentially trying to link you anyway because of your data. Yeah, that's right.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
I just thought it was interesting because it was that, what was her name? Brittany Kaiser. So she was the former director of the business development for Cambridge Analytica. And so I was like, I don't even know who this chick is. And then she was the one sort of giving out the information and telling out, saying, yeah, that actually really happened and this really happened and this really happened. And I was like, what? With the presidential elections and plus the Brexit. And they were involved in that. So it was like they were persuading people through advertising to change their votes and things like that. So how is that fair? Like how is that fair? You know what I mean? And like you didn't know about it until you saw that. The documentary, and it was like, oh yeah, we're going to make all the states from red to blue or blue to red or whatever it is that happened at that time. And it was done. It was basically exploitation of people's data that they were using to be able to do that. And so it's like there's something wrong here. This is why it doesn't make any sense, you know?
Well, and even going further, which is, again, bringing it to today, I actually saw, and this was on my Telegram feed, where it said, you know, I've been getting these messages a lot, and that our 2020 election, which was, you know, again,
5 years ago,
this was in 2020, and it was Trump versus Biden. And everybody knew that Biden didn't really win. I mean, it was just such a farce, and yet it still went forward. And I did see a post today that they, you know, it said it has been determined that actually, yeah, Trump did win that election. And I think it even extends to the mainstream media because today I'm watching. Again, I get posts directly from the Trump White House website, you know, all the stuff that they're doing. And then you go to the mainstream media and they report, either they don't report what's going on, totally ignoring things that he's doing, which he has been doing some really good things. And if they don't have anything to say about it, they just won't report it. But if they do report it, it's usually a big twisted lie about it. Like, I mean, it's crazy because you think, how can they stand there and say these things when it's totally opposite of what these people, you know, are doing? And then when they have people on their side come up to ask questions like in the press conferences and stuff like that. And they focus on these non-issues, you know, that are like,
yes,
not
I was
even
watching
close.
One yesterday. Yeah. I was just watching one yesterday. It's like, what has that got to do?
Exactly.
Oh, now you've got me hooked like a bloody fish. I want to find out. Right. And then you're like,
the big thing was, It's worldwide stuff too. It's not just America. It's all over the world. You know,
everyone.
These things are, they're reporting bold-faced lies. And you're just thinking, how is that possible? And then of course, you know, you're all your social media. If you're listening to one, section, like, all the X, that, you know, again, in America, all the ex people that were Democrats, they didn't like Elon. They don't like Elon anymore. So they went off and they made a whole new social media for them, a whole new platform. Mm. And I forget what it's called, something like something blue or something like that. And so they, again, it's like they know what you want to hear over there. So they tell you like totally different things than what they're telling over here at, say, somebody who's a Trump supporter, right?
And, yeah, that's right. And you're actually blocked out, really, because they've got you hooked now. And this is where that persuasion comes in. You know what I mean? So they're banging on the fact that we have a digital pulse, right? And our personality drives the type of behavior where we're going to go with it. So, I mean, are we dependent on social media platforms? Who is feeding us all this and how? You know, there's all those questions, you know, because they were targeting certain personalities. So you sending out your data comes back as a targeted messaging and it's targeted to you. So what I see and say what you see could be watching the same thing, Beachy, but then it could be like in between, like if there's ads or anything else, they're going to be personalized and they're going to be targeted, one for me and one for you. You know what I mean? And they're both going to give us a different message. They're going to give us a different message, you know?
They want us to argue about it. And you're going to, again, argue about the stupidest points, you know, like a point that's not even valid, you know? So it's really crazy when you think about it. And I hear, and I'm hearing, you know, certain people are even saying, okay, you got to be careful who you're listening to. Even people that you thought you trusted last week, you know, could be compromised, you know, next month. And so you have to constantly vet your, whoever it is you're talking to. And I also say too, you know, be careful what you are posting, reposting. Cause like, you know, you say you get a good, you know, post you think is interesting and you send it off to somebody else. You ought to make sure you're you know, it's not propaganda or it's not a lie, basically, or, you know, it's something that you truly, you know, believe in and it's your, I don't know, like it's you. It's like, you know, like my show, remember who you are, you know, if it's in your,
well, at the end of the day, like we're all responsible, right? So what we can do is to be responsible people. So pick up that responsibility, you know, and don't just start blaming other things, other people, this and that. No. You're responsible for your clicking, what you read and what you send. It's so true, you know,
What you'd like to see in the world, not necessarily send all the ugly stuff because there's a lot of ugly stuff there if you want to watch, you know, the terrible things and. You know, it's like, I was even thinking, you know, like the news has always been, you know, from, you know, as long as I can remember, the mainstream news has always been bad news. And it seems like it's kind of like we were talking about the FOMO thing. People want to hear the bad stuff, right? Because, you know, you want to make sure you're protected, you want to make sure you're not going to be falling into something you shouldn't, you know, all those cautionary tales, all those, you know, scams, whatever. And we're just drawn to that. That is another psyop, I think, because they know
that is part of the psychological warfare that goes on. So we just have to be aware of how persuasive things are and are we going to be persuaded to be exploited by this sort of stuff, you know what I mean? And it's just crazy that we're in a battle to control our most intimate details online, everything with us online, you know, because we have basically everything is now online. You can't not do anything outside. Like you just can't, you know, you can't literally go to the I don't know. We'll just say, for example, I can't go and pay a bill at, say, the electricity place. It doesn't exist, right? It does exist in a sense where it's a corporation and it has a building, but you can't actually go there to pay your bill. You have to go online to pay it. right? Or your other option is to pay a little bit extra if they send you a paper bill, because these days they're going to charge you if you get sent a paper bill. And then you can go to the post office if the post office allows you to pay the bill there, and you still have to pay a service fee as well. So, you know, it's like to pay, they want you to pay for that sort of convenience for people, but it's more convenient for them to do it all digitally these days. You know, that's what they're targeting. So everything's online. Everything's, you don't have to come in and talk to anyone. You don't have to touch anything. You can just talk to all of us online. You don't even have to talk to anyone. You don't even have to call now. They have these chat bots you can chat to these days as well. And it's
well,
like,
yeah,
what the hell is going on here?
That was the COVID effect. I think everybody got into the contactless thing, and that's a meme. Stay safe. Don't you know, don't touch anything. It's like 6 feet apart. It was a thing, and people are still on that shit.
It's slogans crazy. And logos, and that's the memes. Thing as well. Because memes. in the great hack, they were talking about how large groups of people can easily be led to vote against their own interests, right? So they gave an example. It was the Do So campaign in Trinidad and Tobago. So the social media flooded this catchy slogan and graphics of this Do So campaign. And I was like, what is going on here? And, you know, when you look at it from the outside, you're like, how can people do that? And then you yourself might be caught up in another slogan or something else yourself, you know, looking when you're on social media, but you don't realize that you're doing the same thing as what's just been happening. So for me, it's like very monkey see, monkey do, but they're targeting, it's that level of psychological warfare is what we're going to call it. And it's really, we really have to watch out for that, because yeah. This is where we all get into arguments about this. But I saw this and I heard this. This person said that and blah, blah, blah. And I saw that on TV and that. And this person's, and then they start doing these symbols and blah, blah, blah as well. And then all of a sudden there's flash mob of people protesting, and they're not even real protesters, because half the time now we're just like, oh, I think they're just paid actors, or, you know, people right. that have gotten off the street.
That's the thing, and
said, too, right, we're going to pay you today for an hour. Because right. I need you to go and do a march, you know what I mean? And it's like, was your common sense? And B, it's like, do you even think about the impact that this is having, like what you're doing?
Well, even the, right? like you said, the media shows you a scene that looks like there's a lot of people there, when in reality it's, you know, it's much smaller.
It's not.
It's not, you know, it's a different angle, or, you know, things are, I mean, they're image makers, you know, that's the other thing too, is that they make it sound like there's more people, you know, because it's on TV, you know, they, I mean, because I think that was kind of what happened with here with all the, you know, the LGBTQ stuff, you know, they thought everybody was behind this, but when Trump came out and said, we're not doing this anymore, oh my God, everybody was like, okay, everybody could come out of the closet now. They are able to, you know, because they were like still back in sixth grade, you know, they thought, okay, we got to be with the clique. We can't say anything. Otherwise, you know, somebody will, you know, we won't be cool, or we won't be... The culture
will be targeted for something else.
Targeted, and, you know, exactly. Or you'll be embarrassed, or, you know, whatever, you know, just like junior high. We're still in junior high, worried about what our friends are going to think, you know, and they're not going to like us anymore if we, you know, go outside the corral. And I, like you said, I think the media makes it sound like there's more people that are behind these things, when in reality it's a very small percentage of the population. Yeah. And usually, like you said, they're getting paid. I mean, a lot of these, not to go too much into the LGBTQ thing, but a lot of those people who were pushing that stuff, like say in my town, They were getting huge funding, you know, from, I don't know, whoever is trying to push this stuff from the top. And all that money, it makes people do, you know, like the schools, they get their little programs for their story time or their, and even this, we have this botanical garden that is a, like a, you know, just, it's like a tourist spot, you know, where you go in and they have this beautiful garden and, you know, they have a tea place. And anyway, they were doing tranny story hour for your kindergartners. And it's like, okay, it's a garden. It's not even, you know, but they got a grant, they got money. They're, you know, they're off to the races with it because they're going to take that money and they're going to just do whatever. I mean, yeah. It's crazy. But anyway,
it is. And you think about the ribbon, you know, we have different ribbon days, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And what's the other one that I always laugh about is the fun run, the color fun run and all that kind of stuff. Where does it all come from initially? Like, where did this start? You know, it has to start somewhere because social media has pushed a lot of these things in the foremost of people's mind. Like, if you think about color run and where it comes from, it's actually I think it's Indian, like Hindu, is a ritual. It's a ritual. Yeah. So it's like, you say you don't believe in things and I'm not I don't believe in anything. I don't have anything spiritual in my life, blah, blah, blah. But I'm going to go and do something because this is a color fun run. Okay, there's the dark side to color fun run is if you go back into it, there's obviously something else behind it, you know? And it's like, what is that doing? What is it doing? What is it doing to you? Why would you have color thrown at you? Like, there's a ritual there, you know what I mean? So we're unknowingly thinking things are fun, but there could be something sinister behind it. Just a classic, I would just watch this quick video in regards to Celine Dion. I didn't know that she had a children's range of clothing.
Hmm.
And I was like, that's interesting. We'll find out.
No matter what you say.
You're listening to another conversation.
Or your preoccupation.
On truthmeets.com.
You can practice every day.
And now, on with the conversation.
The art of conversation.
And we're back coast to coast with Beachy and Verilicious. I'm just talking about Celine Dion. Apparently has a children's range of clothing. I did not know that.
Somehow
made it through one of my social channels. And it got me hooked. I was like, she's got a what? Okay. I work in the fashion industry. I've worked with fashion designers and all that kind of stuff. So obviously that's going to pique my interest. They know this. They have my data. They understand what's going to grab me and what's not, right? And then I started looking into what her clothing range was. And it is very sinister. They're getting children to wear. The clothing itself is fine. It's the symbolism on the clothing.
Hmm.
And they showed a commercial that she did. And I was like, this is very dark. I don't know if I really want to look through this whole thing and really have a look at her actual range. But it just, this is another thing. It's like people don't realize what I'm saying. People don't realize what's behind a lot of the propaganda, the marketing that's been thrown at them, you know, for me to see that and I'm like, oh yeah, she's got a clothing range. And then I had a look again and I was like, oh, there's something weird about this clothing range. Why is it, you know, and it's obviously piquing my interest again in regards to why she would do that. And then, you know, we hear about the people in certain industries, say satanic, maybe they could be following some, you know, I don't know, far out, whatever it is, right? And you kind of go, yeah, this has now reached a level of creepy to me, so I'm just going to stop right now. So, you know, this is where we've got to recognize not to keep pursuing things and not to keep looking into it more and more, you know? And then it could eventually go, oh my God, Celine Dion, she's Illuminati maybe. She's this, blah, blah, blah. Have you seen how skinny she looks lately? She looks like a skeleton, blah, 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 blah. This is what happens. And this is how the programming and what the behavior change agency does. That's exactly what it does. In a very quick and short time, you can change your way of thinking and what you look at, what you're going to click to, and what you're going to share. And this is what you were saying, Beachy, right? About
right. Something well, I'm that looking resonates at, you. Yeah. I'm looking at her clothing line right now. And it's interesting because, okay, first of all, it's called new, N-U-N-U-N-U, or at least that's what it looks like, but it's actually, I don't know, it's kind of looks just like the same symbol, like you said, upside down, and you know, and it looks like new, yeah. But it's kind of like a snake. If you put it all together, it's like a snake thing, and she does have a lot of snakes in the
snakes. What? It's like
in some of these clothing, right? But more importantly, the overall look of these clothes, and you know, forgive me if I sound racist, but it looks very ghetto. And or like something you would wear in prison, you know, like prison garb. And the kids don't have smiles on their faces. Well, one of them does.
That's right.
But they look very like, you know, like, I don't know. It's just a weird thing.
The symbolism is stars and rainbows and electric bolts and all that kind of stuff. So I think if you were to go deeper, into what it was, I'm sure we're going to find the meaning behind it and all that kind of stuff. But
it's
crazy. And there was one they showed, I think it was an advert, and it had the little baby. It had his little jumpsuit with stars on it, but it had like a little hat that had like devil horns. And I was like, no. Are you kidding? Mm. Yeah.
Well, so, I'm trying to read these shorts. It says Los, I don't know. I can't read it. It's going by too fast, but it kind of looks, again, it looks gang. It looks like a gang, a gang logo of some sort that, you know, you would see. Yeah. Like I said, in the ghetto, it's kind of,
like it's nothing really weird.
It's very weird. And then this shirt right here. It says control freak.
Mm. Yeah. Is it, you know, and then we can look at if we're going to say go down a conspiracy road, control freak. Is that saying that you are a person that we can control? You are a control freak, right? You know, these are the things. That's what we're saying. Like these things that we look into, that we've always looked into, you know, there's a picture here. She's got UFOs and cats and all that kind of stuff. So I don't know what it means. But I'm not anywhere to go there. But just the example is how one thing can lead to another, and the way of thinking, how you can it can change your way of thinking, and then what you want to share with someone else, and then their way of thinking, and then they'll be like, oh, I know what that means, and I know she's like this, you know, and then it just becomes this one person saying this, and it becomes like Chinese whispers, you know, and then in the end, it just blows up because. Just for one advert that we've seen of her clothing range or something, you know.
The women's clothing looks, oh my God, it looks like pajamas. It's just totally pajamas.
Got beachy looking at
it. It's nothing attractive, nothing feminine, all gray and and just ill-fitting. I mean, just like this oversized t-shirt. It just looks like she's got a t-shirt that King Kong would wear. I mean, it's just like,
yeah.
Okay. It's, sorry. Yeah, I'm distracted, but yeah, ugly. You're distracted.
So this is what we're talking about. Like, this is what happens. Like, we're looking into this. This is where our data gets harvested, and then who knows whatever is going to be pushed into our faces the next time we're going to look at something or Google something. So, you know, and the Great Hack also looked at the whole thing about David Carroll not being able to see his data. They took this all the way to court. It went all the way up to the High Court. I think, was it even United Nations? I can't remember 100% now. But there's no rights. No rights, no control over your data. So, and this is what they were looking. There was a lawyer on there saying that we should have rights over our data. And they were looking at, I think it was like some type of human rights and all that kind of stuff. So it goes way deep into it. But I mean, this is what we're saying, to what extent, you know, even with the social media, like, because this, it gets younger and younger that we're exposed to the internet, younger and younger with the things that have been, with the developing brain and what, and how easily like young children, adults, we're all influenced in some way, persuaded in some way. I don't care whether people agree with me or not, but I believe with the psychological warfare that goes on, 100% that we are going to be caught up in some way, shape or form if we don't recognize it.
Yeah.
Right? So we need to be really...
It's not the data they have stored in their computers.
No, it's what they use.
It is the data stored in your mind and how they are manipulating that data within you. They don't need chips. It's all, like you said, they have so much psychological
programming
information on us. They know so much about us, and we don't know about ourselves. And that is, you know, like you said, that is my whole thing, is we need to start learning about ourselves and how we work. We have no owner's manual. We need to figure out, and the only way we're going to find out is by inquiring within.
And you know, that one click profiling is what they call it. One click profiling, click, 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 click here, there, and everywhere. And all this stuff that's being exploited and also being used against us. It is the psyop. It is the psychological operation that is happening in social media. So, you know, these are the things they're trying to get you to be aware of. I mean, look at it for yourself. You know, the Great Hack is a great one, followed by the Social Dilemma. It gives you a bit of insight into what is happening, what these people are doing, what they thought was right, you know, eventually wasn't. But the outcome of a lot of these is, you know, we have cyberbullying, which leads to self-harm, which leads to suicide, which leads to which leads to anxiety, a lot of mental illnesses and all this kind of stuff. So, you know, these are the things. This is our first world problems today because of social media. And oh my, is it really technology? Because you can really be in control of what you do. It's up to you to choose what you want to do.
It's another tool, like I said, that's being used. But, you know, just like a knife, you can use a knife for good. You can use a knife for bad, right? Or a gun, whatever. And you just need to be informed, and you need to know what you're messing with. But again, I say it's mostly, like, people like us who are a bit older, who didn't have this stuff in our entire lives. It's not like, we might think it's not that big of a deal, but it's more the kids who have come in the last 20, it's
the
25
digital
years,
age children. Yeah.
Yeah. Who have not had anything different. They don't know what it's like to be without this stuff. So they're the ones who are the most vulnerable, and they are the ones that need to be taught that it's you know, like you said, a tool, and it's not to be to take over your own inner person, your own psyche, whatever.
That's right, and that's it. And like Beachy's saying, Beachy's topic of Remember Who You Are, her series, get on it. She'll be talking a lot about our inner selves. So there's one thing that I'm going to leave us on a note in this, what they were saying, and this is that Brittany Kaiser was saying, data has surpassed oil as the world's most valuable asset and is being weaponized to wage cultural and political wars. Have a think about it. Really, when they say stuff like that, you kind of prick your ears up and go, wow, how am I not looking into different things and being aware? So all we're just saying is just be aware, you know, learn about your inner self and, have, you know, use things for good. Try not to get roped into things. Try not to be the fish at the end of that fishing line every time, unfortunately, you know, most of us do get grabbed hook, line and sinker with a lot of this stuff. So, you know, information can be a good thing and it can also be a bad thing. It just depends where we look for it as well. Yeah. So that was pretty good, Beachy. Like I actually enjoyed those two documentaries, to be honest with you.
Yeah, they were.
They gave you a little bit of insight. Yeah. And also it sort of brought insight to your own behavior, you know. If you're a type of person who will look at, I'm usually a self-critical person as well. I like to have insight into what I do, and sometimes it gets, you know, in front of me. But you know, these are the things you've got to look at. You really have to look at who you are, who you want to be, and just the influences out there. You can use it good, bad. It doesn't really matter. But we've got to be aware that there's so many things that are targeting us out there. That's all.
The amount of time we spend these days on our social media and our, like you said, you can't even do commerce anymore unless you do it over the internet or pay a bill digitally, or even when you go to the grocery store, sometimes there are certain places now who won't accept cash. You have to do it all through either a card or, you know, I see a lot of people now with their phones, just clicking their phones up against.
Exactly. Yeah. It's just really becoming like
moving quickly.
Really have a look to see what we're really dependent on. And I do get it. I mean, we really need these phones these days for communication. And there's a lot of us that can't do without it because a lot of our work, you know, our jobs might involve it all. I mean, I have to, when I go to work, I clock in and clock off, you know, my shift and all that stuff is on an app. You know, if right. I can't access that, then, you know, I don't get a wage, you know. So there's things like that. Like there's no paperwork anymore. You know what I mean? I remember we used to clock in and clock out with our punch cards, or we had a where you would write in your time and end time and stuff like that and then sign it and all that kind of stuff, you know? So, that is done away with these days. So, I mean, just think about it. You know, the things that we had before, there's a lot of us that are old enough to remember pre-internet and all that sort of stuff, but the ones that have grown up with this digital thing, I mean, you know what? It's not old. It's always going to be there, you know. We always say there's a paper trail, you know. We have a paper trail.
Yeah, we're moving into the and I was also going to mention it, that you know, everybody's talking about the AI these days, but virtual reality, you know, that we haven't heard a lot about that, but it's out there, and you know, they kept saying that it wasn't quite perfected, but mm-hmm. I mean, I don't really use it, so I don't really know, but you know, that sort of thing, I thought that was going to be the end of us, because I thought everybody was just going to be hooked up to their Yeah. Their VR set. And,
the VRs, you know, yeah.
Everything yeah. was in there.
yeah.
But, yeah. So, I mean, again, like I said, we are in control still. At least we can put those phones away. We can, you know, limit our time on them. I think the phones are probably at this moment the worst because, like you said, you don't have, I mean, you sometimes don't have the option of leaving them at home. I'm just this week, I had a friend who went on a trip and I knew she was going, but some of the other girls in our group did not know. And so, she, you know, one of the other girls was trying to get a hold of her. And so she was contacting me saying, oh, have you, you know, heard from so-and-so? I've been yeah. texting her and she's not responding, you know, and she was getting, you know, kind of worried and everything. And I said, I think she's on a trip, you know, she went to, you know, yeah. and so I didn't really know exactly, you know, when she was coming back, but I knew she was going to be gone. And, but yet she said, but she's not responding. You know, I sent her text and she, you know, and I said, and I was just thinking, well, maybe she left her phone at home. I don't know. You know, I'm yeah. sure she's fine, you know.
You know what? But, it never bothered yeah. some of us back then because it's like, yeah, yeah, we knew in communication, we all knew what we were going to yes, do. And then it was yes. like, we'll get in touch eventually. But now you don't answer for 5 seconds. It's like, oh my God, what happened to them?
Yes.
for crying out loud. Like,
exactly. It's, yeah. it's that way anymore. People get upset if you don't respond immediately. And I get a little irritated with that myself because I think, you know, I am not on your leash. You know, it's like, I don't need to respond immediately, but some people, you know, expect that. But anyway, the other thing I wanted to just quickly mention too was that I was at another woman was talking about how, you know, we don't know our anybody's phone number anymore. It's like if we lose your phone, because like my friend, she left her phone at home when she went on her trip accidentally, it wasn't on purpose, but still she was like, I didn't have any phone numbers. It was like, she said, luckily I remembered my work phone number so I could call them and ask them to, you know, look on my computer for stuff. You know, I mean, it was like,
oh, no.
She was kind of lost a little bit because yeah. she did not have any of those numbers. You know, back in the day we used to memorize our phone numbers, you know, at least you knew you're important people, but
yes, 555.
No matter what your age,
you're listening to another conversation
or your affiliation
on truthmeets.com.
Let yourself engage.
And now on with the conversation.
In the art of conversation.
Yes, but anyways, that is right. Yeah, our phone numbers. That's right. I don't even know. I mean, you know, the only thing I still remember is my parents' home phone number.
Yeah.
That's it. Everybody right. else's phone number, like, you know, I don't know how many times people change their phone numbers. I try to keep my phone number for a long period of time if I can. You know, but it's just, yeah, you can't remember it. It's like, oh my God, what's your number these days? You can't even remember them anymore. It's crazy. And like passwords and that as well, because everything's now, oh, I'm going to save it. I'm just going to save it because my memory is not that great.
Right. But passwords are my nightmare.
That's what I'm saying. Has it make us a little bit dumber because we're not using that part of our brain anymore where we're keeping, you know, like memory, keeping these memorized and have that sort of thing used.
All this other useless information in there. If we didn't have all that crap in there, we probably could still remember all our stuff. I think, you know, you always hear about people saying, oh, I can't remember as good as I used to. And I think it's just because we've got too much information in our heads these days. We're just carrying way too much crap.
And I think it's also like the anxieties, like we have things that we think about yes. life and what's going on. And, you know, if a disaster hits us, we think about this. And yeah, so our minds always being kept occupied over something else. So, you know, while we're concentrating on this, something else is going on in the background here that we don't even know about. So, and this is going to be the day in and day out of our lives. This is what happens. So, It's always good. I like playing these good, I've got these word games that I do, which is really good because a lot of the times we'll go and get a puzzle book and I'll use pen to paper sort of thing because I don't want to have to use my phone all the time to play a game. You know, it's like I'm back on this phone thing again. Like, what the hell is going on here? It's always nice to do the old, you know, puzzle.
Yeah.
The old puzzle book you can buy.
Get off the, you know, get a pen and paper the old-fashioned way. That is.
You'd be surprised how many people don't even know how to write properly. It's quite scary as well. Yeah.
Exactly.
So that's another thing as well. If you were to sign your name, maybe they'd learn how to sign their name. But if they were to write something full, I don't know. I mean, it's crazy. I found out like how many people are actually don't know how to not only read but write as adults in this time and now. I was really shocked to find out there's so many people that can't. It's really
spelling,
bizarre.
Yeah, you know, a regular paragraph, putting together a paragraph or a sentence is, that's kind of with all our emojis, all our, you know, acronyms, which, you know, acronyms were huge back in the 90s. Again, you know, when you're industry specific, you know, groups, everybody was always talking. I used to drive me nuts, the acronyms, you know, but again, I was in the computer industry nothing but acronyms.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I'm sure you could do a whole like conversation in acronyms and I still wouldn't understand what you're saying.
Exactly.
It's like another language.
Exactly. Yeah. That was the point, I think, so that somebody who was outside of your, paradigm, whatever you had it, medical acronyms, you had your lawyer acronyms, you know, legal, you have your obviously computer acronyms. Every single industry had their secret code.
Exactly.
That's pretty crazy.
Anyway, our secret code is 1-1. No, just kidding. There is none. That was a bit of fun. Yeah. All right. Well, that's good. So, Beachy, good to see you again, coast to coast. You got another show. Your other show just came out recently. So
I just had a second one come out, yes. Yep. And I am working
as king,
on the
isn't
third
it?
One.
What was your topic? As King?
As King, which is short for asking questions to, like we were talking about, to get to know yourself, you got to ask yourself questions. Go inside, ask those questions.
Exactly. Yeah, I just had a fitting room with Martha. We were talking about no Botox for Martha, just having a bit of a look through the neurotoxin and what it does, and you know, just so many things. Like, I just feel like we've been bombarded with so many things: the environment, technology,
good and bad. Toxins,
good and bad in everything. Good and bad in everything, everybody. So, I mean, these are just basically discussion points that we like to talk about, and it's always good to sometimes have a conversation about things. So Truth Meets Forum we have. Beachy, are you on there yet?
Actually, the forum is kind of on hold. I just got trying to get on, but apparently there's been a little bit of technical problems with it, and working on it though. So, you know, as soon as that gets up,
everybody, I think you can still register and stuff like that. But once we're all up and running, everybody, you can jump on there. It is free to register. You can also jump in on truthmeets.com to listen to any of our shows. We are on there. Something might tweak or pique your interest in what we talk about, and you can always message us in some way, shape or form if you know us. If there's something you'd like to talk about, if you would like us to talk about, yeah, you can let us know. Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll have a think about it.
That should get up pretty soon, hopefully, and then we can get some, you know, interaction there. But if not, you know, I'll, you know, come up with an email address or something at some point. But yeah. I just contacted him today, so he said he's working on it, and you know, hopefully it'll be there
perfect.
Soon.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I just want to say that I hope the guys in mid-north coast of New South Wales, hopefully the rain has stopped and the flooding will soon recede. And then, you know, hopefully the cleanup will happen. We are still cleaning up after Cyclone Alfred. So it's just weather phenomenon. It's just crazy. And I think it's everywhere. So there could be something else we could look into, Beachy. There's always so many things we can look into.
There's another topic. Always another
For now, from coast to coast with Beachy and Verilicious, everyone enjoy your day and whatever you're doing, and we will catch you next time round. Thank you.
And have a happy Memorial in America. We're having Memorial Day weekend. This is Monday. We, you know, big yeah, holiday
happy
weekend.
Happy long weekend.
It's a kickoff for summer.
Okay. All right, guys. See you soon.
Good night, bye-bye. Everyone. Bye.